One, two. One, two.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Another edition of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. I am your host for the evening, Nick Sesento, flying solo as I cover all of the action from tonight's 111-109 Boston Celtic victory over the Sacramento Kings at Golden 1 Center in Sacramento, California. Just one night after the Celtics' biggest win of the season, destroying the Golden State Warriors by 33 points on their own court at Oracle Arena. The Boston Celtics come back on the second night of a back-to-back. No Kyrie, no problem. Irving out with a bruised thigh. I believe it's the left thigh, a left thigh contusion. Whether or not there's an actual injury there or if it's just a rest night for Kyrie Irving, the Boston Celtics were able to handle the Sacramento Kings tonight. And this was no easy game, as the score should indicate. 111-109, again, the Boston Celtics defeat the Sacramento Kings. And as I mentioned, this is no easy game. The Sacramento Kings are not a team in tank mode, as they have been in seasons past. This is a team with lots of young talent, De'Aaron Fox being one of them, Buddy Hield being another, Willie Cauley-Stein being another, and just traded for Harrison Baines, traded Zach Randolph and another piece to the Dallas Mavericks to acquire Harrison Barnes, who has been averaging 13 points, nearly 13 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, and a steal in his brief time with the Sacramento Kings after being acquired in the trade at the trade deadline. So this Sacramento Kings team is fighting for a playoff spot. They are currently in a battle with several other teams for the 8th spot in the Western Conference. The San Antonio Spurs, I believe it is, actually hold that position right now. If the playoffs were to start today, the San Antonio Spurs would have... Oh, I'm looking at the standings on ESPN. It looks like it's changed. The LA Clippers are currently in 8th place, battling the Sacramento Kings and San Antonio Spurs for those final playoff spots in the Western Conference. And the Sacramento Kings don't have much margin for error, as they are 3.5 games behind both the Clippers and the San Antonio Spurs, and the loss tonight did not help their cause. In addition to wanting to make the playoffs, as most teams that have talent would like to do, the Sacramento Kings are also trying to avoid giving up their 2019 draft pick, which goes to, I believe, the Boston Celtics, if the Sacramento Kings do not make the playoffs. So there's more impetus for the Sacramento Kings to give their best shot to the Boston Celtics. And for the Celtics, this is the classic situation for a trap game, for a letdown game. The team had arguably, or not arguably in my opinion, but the team had their best, most well-rounded, all-around team effort last night, or I should say two nights ago, since we are now on the East Coast into Thursday morning, had their best team effort in that 33-win blowout over the Golden State Warriors. And it would be natural, second night of a back-to-back, emotional hangover, looking forward to maybe Saturday getting revenge at the Staples Center against the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of things that could have gone, Kyrie Irving not playing, a lot of things could have gone wrong for the Boston Celtics tonight, and a lot of things did go wrong, obviously only beating the Sacramento Kings by 2 points. But there was a lot of things that could have gone wrong for the Boston Celtics and a lot of things that were driving the Sacramento Kings to take this game. The Boston Celtics came into the game at 39-26, achieving their 40th win of the season tonight against the Sacramento Kings. 15-16 on the road heading into the season, now even that up to a 500 record on the road. 5th place in the Eastern Conference and had lost 5 of their previous 7. But if you want to put a positive spin on that, they have now won 3 of their last 4 games. So As these Boston Celtics are known to do or have been prone to do this season, is an up and down thing with this team where, you know, one game you're kind of, you know, ready to pull your hair out, you're about, you know, ready to, you know, jump off a cliff, and the next thing you know, the Boston Celtics put on a performance like they did the other night against the Warriors, and then come back and follow it up with another win on the West Coast against a playoff contending, a playoff wannabe team in the Sacramento Kings. Fantastic game. Just to run down the box score real quick for those of you tuning in to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show, just would like to remind you that this show is sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, and this is a live call-in show, the only live call-in post-game show for the Boston Celtics, whether online or terrestrial radio, the only live call-in post-game show. And the toll-free number sponsored by Boston Barber and Tattoo is 347-215-7771. And this episode of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show, like all episodes, is brought to you by Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list Boston celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Milan Lucic, formerly Milan Lucic, no longer a Boston star, but we love them all the same, Brad Marchand, and Aaron, the former Man Bun Baines, has now had the man bun trimmed off. We wonder if he got it done at Boston Barber and Tattoo. Safe to say, it's possible. Boston Barber and Tattoo is more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, and if you ask me, it should be billions, that visit the North End of Boston throughout the year. Lovely city and the North End full of culture. Boston Barber and Tattoo, a North End landmark that represents the cultural epicenter of the area at its core. So, if you would like a slick hipster comb-over like my man, Gordon Hayward, or a smooth buzz when you're done with your man bun, like Aaron Baines, head on over to 113 Salem Street on the North End and get your ears lowered, get some ink, get a sleeve, have some work done, whatever you need, they got you over at Boston Barber and Tattoo. As I was saying briefly before I had to pay some bills, I just wanted to go over the box score with you guys, the listeners. Who did what in this game? Jason Tatum, fantastic game for him. 24 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal on 8 for 17 shooting from the field, 2 of 4 from 3. Got to the line for 6 free throws. Fantastic work. We like to see the Boston Celtics get to the free throw line. That has been one of their Achilles heels on the season, and this team did a fantastic job getting to the free throw line. As a matter of fact, the Boston Celtics took 21 free throws on the evening, making 18 of them for a percentage of 86%. They actually almost tied the Sacramento Kings in number of free throws taken. The Kings taking 22, the Celtics taking 21, but the Kings did not make as many of theirs, 16 of theirs, so the Boston Celtics actually made more free throws, and that is a key for the Boston Celtics moving forward as we start to look at the playoffs. The Boston Celtics are going to need to learn to get to the line as the game slows down into kind of a slower-paced half-court game, and the Boston Celtics did just that tonight, even in the absence of Kyrie Irving, one of their primary dribble-drive penetration scorers, one of those guys that can get to the basket at will. Doesn't always get the free throws, doesn't always get the calls for some reason. He is a superstar, but doesn't quite get the same superstar calls as some of the other superstars in the league. But it's always good to see the Boston Celtics, whoever it is, get to the line. So 24 points for Jason Tatum. Al Horford, who to me was the star of the game tonight. If this was football and we were handing out helmet stickers like they do in college football, and I assume maybe some NFL teams do it, but definitely college football teams, the helmet sticker would be handed out to my man, Al, Uncle Al, Old Man Al, not so average Al Horford. 21 points for Al Horford on 8 for 10 shooting to go with 11 rebounds, a double-double, and 7 assists, a steal, and a block. You heard that right, folks? 21 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and a block on 8 for 10 shooting from Al Horford, 4 of 4 from the line, 1 of 2 from deep, and some fantastic plays, especially in the third quarter, when the Kings tried to make a run. The Boston Celtics actually had a high lead of 10 points, and the Sacramento Kings made a run late in the third, or midway through the third. But Al Horford put on his big boy pants and put in work for the Boston Celtics, staving off the Kings, who went on a 7-0 run towards the end of the third quarter. But Al Horford just getting buckets for the Boston Celtics when they need him, including a savage alley-oop and one hammer. Smooth pass, the smooth alley from Marcus Smart, well-placed in the air, and the oop, dropping the hammer, dropping the mallet on the Sacramento defenders, who tried to stop it but couldn't, even trying to cheat by fouling my man Al Horford, finishing through contact for the and one. Again, Al Horford, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and a block. Old man Al, plus 18 in the plus or minus if you follow the hockey stat. To me, plus or minus isn't all that reliable for just one game. But as I've said in the past on this show, plus or minus, if you look at it over the course or span of a certain number of games, it can give you kind of an indication of how a player is trending in their play. Anyways, continuing on, Marcus Morris, another guy who put on his hard hat and went to work, blue-collar style, especially late in this game. 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists for Marcus Morris on 7 of 16 shooting. Marcus Morris, especially there late in the fourth quarter, made some fantastic plays, finishing through contact that wasn't called, by the way, near the basket, hitting some crucial buckets for the Boston Celtics. Good to see Marcus Morris come back and have a nice game. He's kind of had a bumpy road as of late in what has otherwise been a career season, you could say, for Marcus Morris. Regressing to the mean somewhat, having, you know, some inconsistent games, scoring double figures in one game, then scoring in single digits the next, you know, kind of, you know, a peekaboo act, you know, here one day and gone the next. But he was here tonight and certainly pulled his weight and put in some big baskets when it counted for the Boston Celtics. Terry Rozier, starting in place of Kyrie Irving tonight, having a fantastic game, as he usually does, with few exceptions, when he gets to start, because that is what Scary Terry, my man Terry Rozier, and I've been one of his biggest fans throughout his now going on 4-year career in Boston, just seems that Terry Rozier, that's what he needs to get him going, is a spot in the starting lineup. And unfortunately, that's never going to happen with Kyrie Irving on the roster, assuming Kyrie Irving does come back, and that's obviously a point of contention for Boston Celtics fans, but we're not going to talk about that right now, maybe a little bit later on in the show. But Terry Rozier, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and only 1 turnover. 6 for 13 shooting, 4 of 10 from 3. Now, of course, that doesn't sound like a fantastic number when you say 4 of 10. It's like, Terry Rozier took 10 3-pointers. But that's 40%, folks, and that's what you can expect from a shooter like Terry Rozier in 32 minutes in the game. So Terry Rozier, not Kyrie Irving, but maybe a baby Irving, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, did his job as a starter in place of Kyrie Irving, as I mentioned, who is out with a left thigh contusion. Then off the bench, Gordon Hayward following up his best game in Celtics green against the Golden State Warriors just a night ago, 30 points at Oracle Arena, following it up at Golden 1 Arena against the Kings with a 12-point, 5-assist, and three rebound performance on 6 of 10 shooting for the Boston Celtics against the Sacramento Kings. The only other player off the bench that did anything of note, literally. There are three goose eggs, Semi-Ojeleye, Daniel Tice, and Aron Baynes, who did not score nary a point off the bench for the Boston Celtics, but you know who did? Jaylen Brown. 10 points and a rebound from my man Jaylen, including 3-for-6 from the field, 2-of-3 from three-point land in only 23 minutes. No, 10 points is not exactly a stellar number that you want to, that you want to see, that jumps out at you. That, you know, obviously Jaylen Brown can give you more. He did give you more against the Golden State Warriors, I believe scoring 18 points in that game in 27 minutes. But 10 points in 23 minutes, listen, that's not bad. If you extend that out to 36 minutes, that's about 15 points. So Jaylen Brown doing his thing, continuing his consistent play. He's giving you double figures now, I believe, multiple games in a row. I have to check the game logs. Don't want to lie to you, but I do believe that his scoring and his production, his hustle, his defense, I mean, a whole lot of things for Jaylen Brown just seem to really be clicking as of late. And as a matter of fact, I actually have stats. Now, these only go back from last week. Against Toronto, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals. Against Portland, 10 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, and a steal. Against Washington, that one win in that terrible streak the Boston Celtics just got over, 13 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. And then against the Houston Rockets, that terrible game that we'd all like to forget, Jaylen Brown, 15.6 rebounds, zero assists, and one steal. And then you come in tonight, 10 points and a rebound off the bench in 23 minutes. So Jaylen Brown has put together a solid streak of double-digit plus scoring games. And then, of course, we can't leave out our man, Marcus Smart, 9 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists for the Switchblade, Marcus Smart. There was one basket that I really liked, and I've noticed this more frequently with Marcus Smart this season, attacking the basket, not with the intention to jump in the air and turn to look at who he can pass to on the perimeter, but actually attacking the basket and looking to finish, and doing a good job of it this season. That has been one of my personal biggest criticisms of Marcus Smart. If you've been a fan of this show for a while, you've probably heard me ask, what is Marcus Smart's go-to offensive move? And nobody has been able to answer. And I don't think anybody could still answer you right now, but his traditional, so to speak, offensive game is, so to speak, his dribble-drive penetration and finishing at the hoop is much improved this season, as is his career-high 37% three-point shooting, which wasn't necessarily on display tonight, I don't think. He was 1-of-3 from deep, which is still 33%, not bad. But Marcus Smart's game all around has improved this season. And as formerly one of his biggest critics, I love it when I can say that I was wrong and I can give Marcus Smart tons of credit. Especially since his insertion into the starting lineup, he has given the Boston Celtics something that they severely lacked in a player that doesn't need the ball in his hands to have an impact on the game, a player that looks to pass first, a guy that can kind of take some of the playmaking and passing duties, responsibilities off the shoulder of Kyrie Irving and bring some of that grit and balls and hustle to the starting lineup to counterbalance the finesse and smooth play of Kyrie Irving, the team's leader and the team's leading scorer. I will be getting to the toll-free call lines. I see the switchboard lighting up. The toll-free number is 347-215-7771. Before I do that, just like to finish a quick rundown of this game. The Boston Celtics came out the gates a little bit slow, did score 26 points in the first quarter, but were outscored by 6, allowing another one of their patented 30-plus point quarters. So finishing the first quarter down 32-26, but then coming back, breaking the curse of the second quarter. If you've been listening to the show, you've heard several of the CLNS media analysts talk about the scoring droughts in the second quarter for this team. If I can find this paper, I could tell you what they've scored in the second quarter, but I don't have the paper, so I can't tell you what they've been doing over the past several games. But I think if you were to look at the statistics for the past week, you'll see second quarters of 19 points, 16 points, 19 points, 20 points, stuff like that, almost barely failing to make 20 points in the second quarter specifically. Always competitive, or usually competitive in the first quarter, but that second quarter has been an albatross for the Boston Celtics, but not tonight. They outscored the Sacramento Kings 23-17. Now, 23, again, isn't the most fantastic output in a quarter, but when you hold the other team to only 17 points, that's always a good thing. So broke the second quarter curse and went into halftime tied 49-49. Then the third quarter came along. Boston Celtics reached a 10-point lead. They accumulated a 10-point lead in that third quarter until the Kings went on a 7-0 run a little bit past midway in the third. But the Boston Celtics fought back and took an 82-77 lead into the fourth quarter. And that fourth quarter, aside from the first quarter, was the only quarter in which the Sacramento Kings outscored the Boston Celtics. They kept the game close. All due respect to the Sacramento Kings for the talented play of their young players. All 5 of their starters in double figures, 24 points and 8 rebounds for Harrison Barnes, 23 points and 8 rebounds for Buddy Hield, including 4 of 9 from 3. That kid has some range. Nice young player, Buddy Hield. 16 points, 7 assists for De'Aaron Fox. Boy, you don't get a chance out here on the East Coast, and I am originally from Massachusetts, from New Bedford, Mass., but I live down in Tampa Bay, Florida now, and we just don't get a chance to really see the Sacramento Kings play out here on the East Coast all that often. But boy, De'Aaron Fox is one fast player. He is a kid with some serious upside, a young man with some serious upside and some serious potential. 16 points and 7 assists for him. Willie Cauley-Stein, 19 points and 7 boards for the Sacramento Kings. Out there looking like a West Coast G-Funk rapper. He looks like The Game or something with his face tattoos and his braids. Doesn't look like the Willie Cauley-Stein that I saw when he came out of college, but I guess that's what a couple of years on the West Coast would do for you. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists on 5 of 9 shooting from the field and 4 of 6 shooting from 3 for Bogdanovich, the Sacramento bench. 6 points for Harry Giles, 5 points for, you can maybe pronounce his name, Bielica, one of those European names, I think it is, and 2 points for somebody named Farrell. They got 10 minutes. So that about sums it up. And just before I go, I know I've been teasing the Boston Barber and Tattoo call lines now for a minute. I see you 619 waiting patiently on the call lines. I see you 253 waiting patiently on the call lines. Field goals, the Boston shot 4 of 79, almost 50% from the field. Sacramento 4 of 80, again 50% from the field. Boston 13 of 33 from 3 for 39.5%. Sacramento 13 of 29 for 3 for 45%. Already went over the free throws. Boston 18 of 21, Sacramento 16 of 22. Boston Celtics love to see them get to the free throw line. Rebounds, the Boston Celtics were not totally destroyed on the boards in this game. 40 out rebounded 40-35. The scary part of that is only 3 offensive rebounds for the Boston Celtics. 26 assists for the Celtics to 23 for the Sacramento Kings. Again, good ball movement for the Celtics. Nothing like the 38 assists they had at Oracle the other night, but still, always good to see the Boston Celtics with ball movement. 11 steals to 8 for the Boston Celtics. Only one block to 4. The Sacramento Kings outblocked the Boston Celtics. 17 turnovers for the Celtics to 15 for the Kings. 23 fast break points to 9 for the Celtics. And the Celtics had zero, count them zero, as in nil, goose egg, fast break points in the first half of this game. And then points in the paint, 36 for the Celtics, 44 for the Boston Celtics. Nice finish to this game. Tatum hitting some nice late buckets. Fox hitting a late three that brought the game within one, and then almost forced a turnover on the subsequent possession with under 30 seconds to go. Boston Celtics fouled, hitting the two free throws. Then Buddy Hield fouled with 7.6 seconds left, shooting a three-pointer, fouled by Gordon Hayward. Hit all three of his threes. Gordon Hayward goes down the court, hits a clutch game-winning bucket. Sacramento Kings called the timeout. Harrison Barnes taking a deep, deep contested three with only 2 seconds left on the clock. Clank, game over. Boston Celtics win 111-109. And with that, I'm going to go straight to the Boston Barber and Tattoo call lines, 347-215-7771. And I'm going to go straight to 619. What's up? Is this Sam in San Diego? Somebody down there in San Diego. What's up, San Diego? What you got to say about tonight's 111-109 win by the Boston Celtics over the Sacramento Kings? Nice two-game win streak the Celtics got going, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. This has been awesome. I don't know what happened on that plane trip, but I can't remember. I guess I had forgotten to see them smile, right? I mean, there's so much smiling, and I don't know. It's just really great to see. I don't know where this came from. I don't know if I just hope this can last, but it is pretty – it's such a contrast. It's pretty amazing to see. I wanted to complain about a couple things and then one more positive note. And since that we still have a lot of Rozier taking quick shots. Morris taking a lot of one-on-ones where he fades away. Obviously, Tatum still does that. I really wish they could clean that up. That doesn't seem really difficult to stop from doing. I don't know why Brad doesn't just tell him to stop that. It's the one part of the game where we kind of go flat, and it seems to happen at the worst times. And I thought it could have hurt us tonight, and thankfully it didn't.
I agree with you.
Three-point shot at the end there where Hayward fouled, I really that rule that the NBA has set up, I mean, there's really no way to defend the three now. So at the end of the game, whenever a team is down two, they're almost always going to go for three. And it's really hard to defend them because you can't get anywhere near their airspace. And I just don't like that
this
rule.
This is Sam, right?
It is.
Okay, good. I didn't want to be calling you the wrong name. But was it just me or did it not look like a foul? Is that what you're getting at on that three-point shot? Did it just, I mean... It's almost like you can't do anything, and we saw this in the Rockets game as well. If you have your hand out in any way, shape, or form, James Harden or whoever it is who's shooting just rises up, and it doesn't matter how. I mean, it's literally almost the wind from that your hand makes as you swipe. That's hitting these players, and they're calling fouls on because I don't see the contact, at least not enough contact to call a foul in that situation. I mean, you got to let them play, especially when it comes down to, those types of possessions like that. That's basically a game winning or losing possession right there, Sam, wouldn't you say? Did you see the contact, or was it just me?
I mean, I think that the rule is just called so tight that if you're anywhere near them, they're going to call it, and I understand this comes from that Kawhi Leonard injury with Pachulia and them wanting to protect the player, but especially when the player is when there's a pick on the player and the player is trying to fight through the pick, all the three-point shooter has to do is stop on the dime, and that player's momentum, the defender's momentum is going to carry him into it, and there's just I just don't see how you defend that, and we've seen that time and time again, and it happens on the biggest plays. And I think you're starting to see more and more where a team, whether they're down two or three, they're willing to take that three-point shot because you almost have a double chance either to score or get fouled. I think it's one of the easiest plays to get a foul on now. So, but anyways, one last thing is I'm really glad to see Hayward have such a successful last couple of days here. It's really been up and down, and I just when you think he's back, he kind of goes back into a funk. And, you know, I just really wish him the best. I hate reading all of the national media lately that's really putting him down and making him the cause of the problem with the Celtics throughout the year. You know, he's the biggest signing we've ever had. And, you know, I remember what it was like that 4th of July day where, you know, we were all on pins and needles waiting to see if he would sign. And, you know, I'm just so thankful that he did sign. And I want his experience to be a good one in Boston. And so it was just great to see him happy to hit that game winner. So I'm just really happy to see that. So anyways, I'm going up to L.A. to see the Lakers and Celtics play on Saturday. So hoping for another win and maybe they can sweep the L.A. teams. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks a lot. Go Celtics.
Appreciate it, Sam. Take care. We always appreciate your calls. Long-time listener, long-time caller, Sam in San Diego. Always good takes. I'm glad Sam in San Diego brought up that long plane ride from Boston to California, from Boston to Oakland, because there was actually a story on ESPN this morning. I believe it was this morning. It was published sometime within the past couple of days. Gordon Hayward mentioning that plane ride as well and saying that plane ride played a, you know, critical part in the unity that we saw, the cohesion we saw, the camaraderie we saw from this team in that Warriors win. Something happened on that plane ride. I didn't get a chance to read the entire article. I was a little bit busy today, so I didn't get a chance to see everything. But something absolutely happened on that plane ride. And I guess sometimes, you know, a long road trip or a long air trip, if you want to call it that, between these guys is a good thing. And it was, you know, it definitely, and Sam mentioned the media as well. It was really interesting these past few days, especially prior to the Golden State Warriors game, the time in between, you know, that bad Houston loss and then the Golden State Warriors win. You know, seeing the media with all these, you know, whether you call them, you know, fake quotes or, you know, these rumors or these inside sources, these anonymous sources talking about Kyrie Irving being disengaged and disinterested, you know, basically, you know, removing himself, disengaging himself from his teammates, while at the very same time you see pictures leaking from the shoot-around they had at the University of San Francisco where they're, you know, laughing. You see video and pictures where they're laughing and hugging on each other and, you know, hanging off each other like, you know, guys on a team do, and having fun, joking, you know, really looking like they're enjoying each other's presence, you know. And then that extended into the Golden State Warriors game where you just saw all that camaraderie and all that chemistry and all that, you know, that team vibe that's really been missing for most of the season for this Boston Celtics team. You know, they're rubbing Kyrie's head. There was the dust up with, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, who, you know, tried to tried to bully Aaron Baines after Aaron Baines, you know, pulled the old, you know, chest bump flop on a post up, and seeing, you know, Jason Tatum, who, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most tranquil, laid-back dudes in the league. I mean, one of the last guys I would expect to see getting any dust-up. A guy that really seems to be cognizant and aware of his, you know, position in the league as, you know, kind of a newcomer, just a guy who only has one full season under his belt and is in his sophomore season. But he was the first to, you know, shove DeMarcus Cousins as he stood over Aaron Baines, you know, pumping his fist and, you know, giving Aaron Baines the, you know, the mad dog, giving him the dirty look. And then there's Jason Tatum giving him a push. And then, of course, Terry Rozier coming out of nowhere ready to mob up on DeMarcus Cousins. That was really an underrated part of the game because, of course, obviously you want to highlight and you want to magnify and you want to remember the game for the positive elements, you know, not the violent aspects of it. And of course, there were so many positives in that game against the Warriors. The ball movement that got that Jaylen Brown that fantastic dunk. The chase down block by Jason Tatum on Kevin Durant, that behind the back pass to a cutting Gordon Hayward by Marcus Smart to a cutting Gordon Hayward on the baseline. Just so many wonderful plays. It's difficult to even, you know, recount them all. There's just so many wonderful plays. But that scuffle and that dust up, I believe, is underrated for the Boston Celtics because it shows that this team is willing to go to war with each other, willing to, you know, get physical with, you know, notorious NBA. I mean, I don't want to call DeMarcus Cousins a bully, and I'll never use the word like thug because that's just, you know, that's ridiculous language. They're basketball players. They're not thugs. And DeMarcus Cousins, as much as he may be, you know, a kind of a rough player and, you know, an aggressive and, you know, stubborn, hard-headed player on the court, I don't believe in calling these young men basketball players thugs unless they've actually done something to deserve it. But a guy that's been, you know, that's known for being a rough personality and, you know, an abrasive personality, and all of those players immediately. It wasn't faked. It wasn't, you know, prefabricated. It wasn't AstroTurf. They immediately, instinctively stood up for their guy, Aron Baynes, and got involved. And obviously, you know, it's you know, a bunch of Celtics and there's one DeMarcus Cousins, but, you know, Terry Rozier is 6'2" or 6'3", you know, at the most, and DeMarcus Cousins is almost 7 feet, and Terry Rozier was one of those guys that really wanted to get in there and take DeMarcus Cousins' head off. So that was kind of underrated. It was nice to see. You don't like to see the violent aspect of basketball, but you do like to see a team that is going to stick together with each other, even in tense situations like that. So I think that was one of the underrated aspects of the game the other night. And I think you saw in a situation like tonight against the Sacramento Kings where this team could have easily, you know, folded it in. Kyrie wasn't there. You know, there's an excuse right there. A second game of a back-to-back, you know, you're tired. You still got Gordon Hayward, you know, rehabbing his knee, still trying to bring his knee in, get it, or his ankle in, trying to get everything straight. Just all the excuses in the world for the Boston Celtics to let that one slip away. And I think the Boston Celtics of a couple of weeks ago probably would have let that game slip away. It may have still been close. It probably wouldn't have been a blowout. It may have been a blowout. But there were points in this game where it looked like the Kings were threatening to take over the game. And the Boston Celtics stood tough, played within themselves, made smart plays, made hustle plays, made the baskets that counted. One thing that I noticed also at the end of this game is that the Boston Celtics attacked the basket late in the game. There have been so many games where I've complained in these post-game shows of when the game gets close late in the game, the Boston Celtics settling for quick jump shots. And there were quick jump shots early in the shot clock, and some, you know, shots that were, you know, a little bit hero ball or kind of, you know, rush shots that you did, that they could have found better shots. But when it mattered, the Boston Celtics went into the paint. They drove into the paint. They got the ball to Al Horford into the paint. They got Marcus Morris in there bullying himself into the paint. And that's something the Boston Celtics haven't done enough of this season, specifically in that situation where the game is at that tipping point and the Boston Celtics could, you know, take those easy buckets as a way to, you know, stave off the momentum of a team that's trying to surge like the Sacramento Kings were doing tonight when they went on that 7-0 run in the third quarter as they were down by 10. And the Boston Celtics did just that, and they maintained this game, and they took home the W in a game that they may not have won just last week or just a couple of weeks ago. There's something about this team, and before I go to commercial, it seems like we, as hosts of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show, have said so many times this season, is this the point where the Boston Celtics have turned the corner? Have they finally, you know, put it, you know, together? Have they finally turned the corner? And we said that after, you know, that long win streak they went on. I believe they won something like 10 of 12 back in January. And then there was the disastrous February. They just, you know, after the, you know, the first couple of games in February, they just went on that downhill spiral, and they really played some of their worst basketball. And it's objectively speaking, it was their worst stretch of basketball. It was their only, so far their only, and hopefully their only for the rest of the season. There's only 16 games left to go now. But suffering a four-game losing streak, their only four-game losing streak of the entire season. So you can objectively say that was their worst point in basketball. And then you had all of the drama surrounding Kyrie Irving, all of the commentary and, you know, nonsense from the national media about, you know, this team, you know, being in disarray. You have quotes coming out, and you have, you know, conflicting things, as I mentioned earlier. This team is in disarray. It's, you know, it's time to panic. It's toxic, I believe, was a quote that was attributed to Jaylen Brown. I'm not sure if that was an actual quote or if it was a, you know, if it was fake news. But, you know, it's a toxic situation. And then the next thing you see on the court is the team just enjoying each other's presence, enjoying playing with each other, and blowing out the Golden State Warriors, and then having that extend into this game, which had every single marking of a trap game, of a letdown game, and the Boston Celtics played through it and did their thing. So you love to see that, and this is where you see the mettle and the grit and the personality of a team. And hopefully the Boston Celtics can continue down this path, playing together and playing for each other and winning the way they have these past couple of games. With that, I'm going to go to a quick commercial break and then come back and finish up the show. For those of you listening, if you'd like to join the conversation, there is still time for you to join me on the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show. This is a live call-in show. The toll-free number to call in and join the conversation is 347-215-7771. And once you get through and you hear the automated operator, please press 1 to let me know that you'd like to get on the air. And with that, here's a word from our sponsor, Boston Barber and Tattoo.
Every neighborhood has a heartbeat, a place that represents what being home is all about. In Boston's historic North End, that place is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company has become home to A-list celebrities like Gordon Hayward, Brad Marchand, Milan Lucic, Aaron Baines, and the list goes on over the years. It's more than just Boston's most well-known corner barbershop. It's a spot to catch up while getting lined up. And it's also a tourist attraction for the hundreds of thousands of people that visit the North End throughout the year. Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, a North End landmark that represents the epicenter of the neighborhood at its core, located at 113 Salem Street.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show. I am your host, Nick Sesento, and we are covering all of the action from tonight's 111-109 Celtics victory over the Sacramento Kings at Golden 1 Arena in Sacramento. Once again, Boston Celtics winning 111-109, improving to 40 wins and 26 losses on the season, and 16-16 on the road, finally breaking to 500 on the road for a team that has, so far this season, not been an impressive road team. Your leading scorer for tonight was Jason Tatum, having a fantastic game, 24 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists to go with a steal, 8 for 17 shooting, 2 of 4 from deep, and 6 of 6 from the line for Jason Tatum. Terry Rozier starting in place of Kyrie Irving, who missed the game with a left thigh contusion. I believe it's a contusion. Terry Rozier, 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals on 6 of 13 shooting and 4 of 10 from deep. That is 40% from deep. Good to see my man Scary Terry having a nice game, holding down the point guard position in the absence of Kyrie Irving. Marcus Morris, 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 of 16 shooting, I should say, 3 of 8 from deep. Marcus Morris having some having a solid game in what has been a rather bumpy stretch for Marcus Morris, who has otherwise had a career season this year. Marcus Morris having a decent game, especially when it counted in crunch time when the Boston Celtics needed a basket, muscling his way to the hoop and putting the ball through the net. 10 points for Jaylen Brown off the bench, 1 rebound, 3 of 6 from the field, 2 of 3 from deep in 23 minutes. Not a bad game from Jaylen Brown, who continues his streak of double-digit scoring off the bench. And, of course, Gordon Hayward, 12 points, three rebounds. Why do I keep my 12 points and 3 rebounds, 5 assists and a steal from Gordon Hayward on 6 of 10 shooting from the field. And of those 6 of 10 shots, 1 was the game winner with just 2 seconds left on the clock. The Boston Celtics fouled Buddy Hield with just 7.6 seconds left on the clock. Fouled Buddy Hield shooting a 3-pointer, put him on the line where he drained all 3 of those free throws, leaving the Boston Celtics with just 7.6 seconds left to score. No timeouts, taking the ball all the way up the court. And then Gordon Hayward hitting the game-winning bucket for the Boston Celtics. It's nice to see Gordon Hayward having back-to-back solid games. 12 points is not the 30 points he scored against the Golden State Warriors, the game high. 30 points he scored against the Golden State Warriors just one night ago, but it is a solid game for Gordon Hayward, especially with the game-winning bucket. And just as exciting for me as that game-winning bucket was a one-man fast break that Gordon Hayward went on, stole the ball from one of the Sacramento players, and then dribbled it basically coast-to-coast, three-quarters of the court, coast-to-coast, outran the trailing defense and laid the ball in. Gordon Hayward, on that possession, actually looked fast, ladies and gentlemen. And I know that's, and I don't say that to be mean, I don't say that to be sarcastic, but I think that Boston Celtics fans that have followed this team and have watched Gordon Hayward play have noticed that Gordon Hayward occasionally looks like he's stuck in mud, like he's stuck in first or second gear, when it hasn't been your day, your month, your week, or even your year. Gordon Hayward will be there for you. No, I'm just kidding. Gordon Hayward actually looked fast on some of those plays tonight. And there was a quote from Gordon Hayward in just the past couple of days where he mentioned that physically his leg, his ankle, feels fine, but mentally it has been a rough ride for Gordon Hayward. So for those of you Boston Celtics fans or those that call themselves fans, please make sure you give Gordon Hayward the benefit of the doubt when he's out there. He is trying, and even if you are going to make that comparison, and I think it's an unfair comparison because as similar as they may look to lay people or people that aren't doctors or people that aren't athletes, Paul George's leg fracture seemed like a similar injury, and Gordon Hayward did not have tendon or soft tissue damage to his lower leg. It was still closer to the joint. His ankle joint basically exploded, so it wasn't the exact same injury, and it's not going to take the exact same amount of time. On top of that, of course, every player is different, so you have to give Gordon Hayward a little bit of leeway here. This is his first season back, and even if you do compare it to Paul George's recovery from his leg injury, Paul George wasn't a, you know, wasn't an all-world, you know, a team beater in his first season back, especially coming back slowly the way that the Boston Celtics have brought Gordon Hayward back. So let's not, you know, get on Gordon Hayward just yet. There's still 16 games left in this season, and Gordon Hayward really only needs to be a solid, you know, a consistent Gordon Hayward in the playoffs, because this Boston Celtics team is going to make the playoffs. It's almost a lock. They would have to basically collapse entirely and lose nearly all of their next 16 games in order not to make the playoffs. And that's what I think we'll do with the last couple of minutes of the show. Just finishing out, rounding out the scoring tonight. Helmet sticker, as I mentioned, to Al Horford. 21 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and a block. 8 of 10 shooting, 1 of 2 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line, and some serious buckets in the clutch for old man Al. I didn't mention him as I was going down the box score just a second ago because I wanted to save the best for last. Helmet sticker player of the game goes to old man Al, holding it down for the Boston Celtics, leading this team with his intensity, his solid play, his efficient play in the absence of Kyrie Irving. And with that, let's take a look at where the Boston Celtics stand relative to the other teams as we approach the playoffs, and we are getting a better idea of where the Boston Celtics may end up as they head forward. The Boston Celtics are currently in fifth place in the Eastern Conference with a let me refresh these standings really quick so I can give you the most up-to-date, including tonight's scores, so that we have everything right for you guys, and not give you erroneous information or dated information. So the Boston Celtics at 40-26 are in fifth place in the Eastern Conference, just 1.5 games behind the Philadelphia 76ers for fourth place, and 6.5 games ahead of the Detroit Pistons, who are in sixth place. So the Boston Celtics, I just don't see them dropping that many games and the Detroit Pistons winning that many games for the Boston Celtics to drop to the sixth seed. Nor do I see the Brooklyn Nets, who are also tied with the Detroit Pistons in terms of games back. They're also 6.5 games behind the Boston Celtics for the fifth seed. I don't see either of those teams. The Brooklyn Nets did have a nice stretch of solid basketball, of playing hot basketball earlier in the season. They've cooled off a little bit. I don't see the Brooklyn Nets coming up and taking anything from the Boston Celtics. Likewise, I don't see the Detroit Pistons coming up and taking that fifth seed from the Boston Celtics either. So the floor for the Boston Celtics, so to speak, or the cellar for the Boston Celtics moving forward, is going to most likely, barring any catastrophic, you know, collapse, is going to be the fifth seed for the Boston Celtics heading into the playoffs. Now, it is absolutely possible, being only 1.5 games behind the Philadelphia 76ers, and I believe they still have a game against the Sixers coming up. Yes, they do. Wednesday, March 20th, they play at Philadelphia. Their last game of the season series, I believe, against the Philadelphia 76ers. They are already winning that season series 2-1, I believe it is. So they will close out that season series on March 20th. That will give them an opportunity to close some ground, to make up some ground on the Philadelphia 76ers for the fourth seed. And, of course, we still have the get back to the standings here. For some reason, this is slow. We still have the Indiana Pacers, who are in the third seed, but who have lost Victor Oladipo and for some reason have just managed to maintain treading water. So the Boston Celtics, as I mentioned, their ceiling or their floor, their cellar, their basement is the fifth seed where they currently stand, and they have every opportunity, if they continue to play solid basketball, to move up into the fourth or the third seed. If the standings remain the same as they are right now, the Boston Celtics would be playing the Philadelphia 76ers in the first round of the playoffs, in which the Sixers would have home court advantage. If the Boston Celtics start playing a little bit better, and some of the teams ahead of them, the Sixers or the Pacers, come back down to earth or hit some skids, the Boston Celtics will be able to take up those spots, and it could still. Now, if the Celtics switch places with the Sixers and get the fourth seed and push the Sixers down to the fifth seed, same matchup, just with the Celtics having home court advantage. If the Boston Celtics were to move up to the third seed, they would take on a team, probably the Detroit Pistons or the New Jersey Nets. I'm sorry, the Brooklyn Nets. So that is what the playoff outlook looks like. And before we close out the show, just take a look at the upcoming games. Couple of games off for the Boston Celtics now. Thursday and Friday off as they stay in California and head down south to Los Angeles looking for revenge against the Lakers, who beat them in Boston just a couple of days before All-Star weekend. Then after that, you have the Celtics staying in Los Angeles and playing the Clippers at the Staples Center, and then going on back to Boston and hosting the Sacramento Kings again. So that is your outlook for the upcoming few games. You have Los Angeles on Saturday, March 11th. You have, the Los Angeles Lakers Saturday, March 11th. You have the LA Clippers Monday, March 11th. You have the Los Angeles Lakers Saturday, March 9th. You have the Los Angeles Clippers Monday, March 11th. And then back home to Boston to host Sacramento Kings Thursday, March 14th, then host the Hawks Saturday, March 16th, and the Denver Nuggets Monday, March 18th. No easy games there. Even the Los Angeles Lakers, who look like they are going to miss the playoffs, several games out of the playoff hunt, there's still the rivalry factor. There's still the possibility that the Lakers could pose a challenge. Same thing with the Clippers, who are currently in at the eighth seed in the Western Conference. So even the games that look like they may be easy, out of the remaining 16 games, let's just go down the list real quick. At Sacramento, at L.A. Lakers, at L.A. Clippers, versus Sacramento, versus Atlanta, versus Denver, at Philly, at Charlotte, versus San Antonio, at Cleveland, versus Indiana, at Brooklyn, versus Miami, at Miami, at Indiana, versus Orlando, and then closing the season out at Washington. All but maybe three or four of those teams are going to be tough outs for the Boston Celtics, playoff teams or teams vying for playoff position. The Washington Wizards and the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Atlanta Hawks, I almost said Falcons, are probably going to be the only so-called gimme games for the Boston Celtics heading forward, because even the Orlando Magic are currently in eighth seed or vying for a playoff position. So none of those games are going to be easy for the Boston Celtics. And, of course, even those that look easy, like the Hawks, the Wizards, and the Cavaliers, of course, those can always go south, because this Boston Celtics team is just bipolar. No offense to anybody that is actually bipolar, but that's just the way this Boston Celtics has been all season long. With that, we'd like to remind everybody to please tune in to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show after the Los Angeles Laker game on Saturday. The game starts at 8:30. That means the post-game show should start sometime around 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. With that, for CLNS Media and our sponsors, Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, I am your host, Nick Sesento, reminding everybody to continue to bleed green and make sure to tune in to the CLNS Media Boston Celtics postgame show this Saturday as the Boston Celtics take on the Los Angeles Lakers. Have a good evening, folks.
This is CLNS Radio, the home of Internet Sports Talk Radio.
This is Boston Barber and Tattoo Company, the one and only barber and tattoo shop located on 113 Salem Street in Boston's historic North End. With our heart, dedication, respect, and grit, we provide the very best haircuts and tattoos at absolutely unbeatable prices. These are the core principles upon which owner Robert Delarusso founded Boston Barber and Tattoo Company in 2007. 10 years later, business is booming.
Robert's tireless work ethic and trailblazing spirit has launched this rocket ship of a company to the moon.